In Nehemiah 11, you get this position where the exiles have returned, some of them, most of them chose a soft life back in Persia, and those who did return didn't particularly want to live in Jerusalem. They just got their farmsteads and were happy where they were. And Haggai, of course, criticizes them that you prefer your own houses with fancy ceilings rather than building up God's house. And they had to cast lots to bring more of them to come and live in Jerusalem. It says, in Jerusalem, the holy city. So they didn't actually want to live there. They had to actually be forced there by casting lots. And they had complained in Nehemiah 4 that the strength of those who shifted the rubble in Jerusalem was decayed. They saw her dust and the scattered stones as a nuisance. And yet, Psalm 102, which is clearly applied to the restoration, says that the faithful God's servants would take pleasure in her stones and favour even the dust thereof. And then, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. But he didn't appear in his glory. There's no evidence that the Shekinah glory ever returned to the small temple that they rebuilt, small compared to the temple they were commanded to build in Ezekiel 40-48. And so they precluded a major step forward in the re-establishment of God's kingdom on earth as the people of Israel. Isaiah 62 had said, they'll call them the holy people, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. But Nehemiah ends, Nehemiah 13, verse 10, with a pretty sad note that Judah had forsaken Zion. Nobody wanted to live in Jerusalem because of the difficulties there. Even the Levites went and lived outside it where they had fields because they weren't given their tithes. It became a kind of a ghost town, whereas Zechariah 2 had said that at the restoration it could have been inhabited as a town without walls because of the multitudes of exiles who'd returned who were joyfully living there. Zechariah 8, it was God's intention that 10 men would take hold of the skirts of one who is a Jew and come with him to worship in the new temple. But, as I say, the opposite happened. They didn't want to live in Jerusalem. So again and again in this whole record of the restoration, you see how what could have been didn't happen. Ezekiel 36 says that, I will yet for all this be inquired of by the house of Israel, and I will do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. I will multiply men upon you. The cities will be inhabited and the wastes will be built. But they wanted to settle outside of Jerusalem, just get their bit of land and be happy with it. And that was it, and not live in Zion itself. They argued, as Haggai records, that this isn't the time. And the reason why they didn't want it to be the time for the fulfillment of the prophecies was because they just wanted to live in their own fancy houses with fancy ceilings, as Haggai says. I guess fancy ceilings were sort of in vogue at the time. So they did not take pleasure in her stones, nor did they favour the dust thereof. They just considered that shifting all the rubble in the decayed Jerusalem was just too much work. It was a nuisance. So what does this mean for us? Well, you can be a believer and identify yourself as one of God's people, and yet actually there is this terribly strong human desire for just being satisfied with what you have, for just feeling, look, I've got this, I'm happy, that's it. No wider vision, no looking beyond the very, very narrow confines which our nature, I think, like to impose upon us. But you can. I mean, we are not intrinsically sort of limited by our nature in that sense, to that degree. We can look beyond, like Jesus did, like Paul did, like so many people in the Bible did, and like people who you probably know in the Brotherhood at this time have done, have looked beyond the very narrow confines of where you are, and look at what's immediately in front of you. I've got at least somewhere to live, and yeah, okay, I've got my farmstead, as it were, and no wider thought about building up other people. Oh, I got a bit of money. Oh, I'll go on holiday. Yeah, put my feet up. I deserve it. When actually you can see beyond that. You could use your holiday time and your bit of extra money to do a lot for the Lord, to reach out further and further, and then he'll take you to new horizons. And so this is why the kingdom of God was not re-established on earth, really, as it could have been. If they had done that, as Psalm 102 says, then the Lord will build up Zion, he would have confirmed their efforts, and he shall appear in his glory. Well, he didn't, because they didn't do their part. And of course, all these things have been rescheduled in their fulfillment until the final time, when the Lord will appear in his glory. But that, to some degree, depends upon us, whether we are going to look beyond the immediate sort of satisficing, which is, as I say, a tendency of our nature. I say a tendency because we are not locked up by our nature into just not being able to see beyond the immediate horizon. The Lord Jesus was our representative. He had human nature, and he was not God himself. He had human nature, and the fact that he was as he was, I think, is a wonderful testament to what is possible within human nature.